Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry about this.
Fuego, 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 fuego. Fuego, 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 fuego. Fuego, 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 fuego. Fuego purificador.
This is Wretched Radio. Oh, again.
Fuego, 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 fuego,
sorry about that. Was on my way looking for the Church's One Foundation for church news. What do I stumble into? It said in my little sound file dealy, my thingy here, Fuego song. Now, what is the Fuego song? Well, here's the answer.
Fuego, 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 fuego.
It's a worship service.
Fuego, 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 fuego.
No manipulation going on here. Don't judge. Spontaneous worship. You know what? We should do this with a different word. Fire always tends to be a favorite word of these ecstatic worship services. Jimmy, think of a different... Fire really isn't a theological word, but nevertheless, think of a different theological word, and let's see if we can set it to music. What do you got? Angels.
Okay.
Angel, 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 angel.
That works.
No, it doesn't work. Nor does this. How's about we sing a song before communion? Table, 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 table. You'd go, what is the matter with you? Exactly. These types of ecstatic worship services with their spontaneous worship. If any other word were chosen, it would be revealed to be the nonsense that it is. Even the Ohio Players only repeated it a couple of times. Let's get to the originally intended search for a song, though. Please, Friel, no!
The Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ.
Church news. Yeah, with a little entertainment news. Let's go to the movies, shall we? In fact, I'm planning on it. I hope we're going to be able to make it. I think it opened last weekend, a movie called A Great Awakening. I think it's the story of George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin, the open-air preacher who had a booming voice. By the way, some of the stories that are told about George Whitefield, that he could basically, people who were 100 yards back at one of his open-air events, they could hear him crystal clear. And you think, oh, that just must be some sort of a legend. Well, there were enough people who said, no, this guy's voice thundered. I actually know two guys now who are like that. Josh, who's in Great Britain. You're in Great Britain right now, bro. And he's on staff as an evangelist doing open air preaching. And when he preaches, I'm telling you, Josh Williamson's voice, it just thunder somehow just rattles around inside of them, comes out magnified. And our Sunday school teacher at Alpharetta Bible Church, by the way, Jimmy, went I think I went a whole day this week without mentioning First Peter being preached at Alpharetta Bible Church.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, because, well, you know, I don't want to just, you know, beat the horse about us preaching through First Peter at AlpharettaBibleChurch.org. Our Sunday school teacher, Eric, his voice, when he calls the class to attention, you jump. It can be done. Some of the some guys, they just have these thunderous voices. That was George Whitfield, and a movie is being made about him, his open-air preaching, and his relationship with Ben Franklin, who at best was a deist. It's called A Great Awakening. And what kind of pushed me over the edge, I saw the trailer for it. It looked pretty good. But then Ryan sent the lyrics to a song that is inside of the movie. And I read the lyrics and I went, well, this is pretty good stuff. This is actually like better than, I don't know, most worship these days. Sorry. From the oceans through the valleys, from the mainland to the shore, let your kingdom be awakened in the hearts of men once more. Call your children into freedom, captive souls to liberty. Come awaken, Holy Spirit. Come awaken us today.
Fuego, 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 fuego.
Love unending, grace unyielding, tender mercies from thy throne. Brings the lost souls into families, calls the wayward sinner home. Bring salvation, great Redeemer. Uh-oh. Guess what word is in here, Jimmy?
What's that?
Holy fire fanned a flame. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Fuego, 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 fuego.
Come restore us. Come revive us. Come awaken us today. The holy fire thing concerns me a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with asking God to set our hearts on fire for him. The problem, of course, is these days it's, well, needless to say, it's kind of been abused.
Fuego, 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 fuego.
How can you go to these things year after year and just and get it whipped up? How can you be the worship leader and jump around on the stage to get it whipped up? I'm hoping to go to the movie tomorrow night. I think it's open around the country. I'll let you know what my take is on it. Not that I'm a Siskel or an Ebert. Nevertheless, A Great Awakening. It looks good, Jimmy. We'll see. I'll give you the review on Monday.
Okay.
We're actually, you know what we're going to do with this movie? We're going on a date night.
If you're going to the movies on a date, you've been saving up for a while.
Oh, is it that? It's crazy, isn't it?
Don't
worry. We won't be buying the popcorn.
Smuggle your stuff in.
What, Jimmy?
Everybody does it.
Everybody doesn't do it.
That makes it okay.
Okay, fine. We'll let you know. We just don't do a lot of date nights. I'm not bragging on that because I'm not sure it's a good thing. I'm just saying this is going to be something unique. A story number two from Church News. This is good news. The Supreme Court actually ruled against Colorado, and it was 8-1 regarding Colorado's conversion therapy ban. This has implications on the church. They struck down the law that bans licensed professionals from engaging in therapy with minors seeking to change their sexual orientation or help kids with gender dysphoria accept their sex. Now, this may or may not have implications for biblical counselors because they tend to not be licensed. Nevertheless, a conversion ban, we've seen what's happened up in Canada, haven't we? That you can't, in fact, the latest legislation, you can't speak about these things. You will be arrested for that. Because somebody who actually comes to you and says, hey, I have these attractions. I don't want them. Can you help me? The church has to say, well, at the risk of being arrested, sure. Otherwise, you're going to have to go elsewhere. Or we're just going to have to get arrested for doing what is right. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was the lone dissent, arguing that as a licensed medical professional, that these people that are trying to help people convert doesn't enjoy the broad First Amendment protections others do. So in other words, because they're a doctor, they can't speak what they actually believe because they believe that the gender, the ability for somebody to express their gender That needs to be enshrined in the Constitution. Speaking of good news, this isn't really a church issue, but nevertheless, Scottish Parliament rejects assisted suicide. This is a big deal. Assisted dying for terminally ill patients. It's the name of the bill. It would have allowed the terminally ill, mentally competent adults who are residents in Scotland for at least a year. Hey, we got some standards. To receive medical assistance to end their lives. Medical assistance to end their lives. Medical. We're aiding you in dying, because that's what the medical profession is all about. Aiding you in dying. Assisted dying. The lingo that people use to shield and to mask what is downright evil. Okay, so I'm going to pass an assisted poisoning bill. That's what we're... assisted body mutilation. Let's call it that and see if that passes in the Scottish Parliament. Thankfully, and it will just be a matter of time, frankly, I think, yep, the vote was 69-57 against the proposal. So for now, they won't be experiencing what's going on in Canada, but it's really just a matter of time. Scotland has the Scottish Church, it's my understanding, has never been as conservative as the Church of England. Now, consider the status of the Church of England right now. And that kind of gives you then a good idea where the Church of Scotland is at. This is Fiery Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, "Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group?" Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're welcome. I just put it in the trash, so I won't be tempted. This is Wretched Radio. Not that I need to play the Fuego song again, because let's be honest, it is stuck in all of our noggins. You talk about an earworm. Zoink, Scoob. Let's get to church news here on Wretched Radio, shall we? A question that was asked by George Barna: are young adults engaging more at church? This seems to be somewhat anecdotal, but nevertheless, 2 in 5 senior pastors say their church has experienced higher engagement among Gen Z and millennials. 45% say, yeah, we're seeing more kids come to church, specifically boys. 40% of pastors report increased engagement among men ages 18 to 35. Larger non-mainline churches led by younger pastors are most likely to report rising engagement among young adults. Larger non-mainline churches would indicate not Protestant, mainline Protestant churches, which could be another signal that evangelical churches, ones that are preaching conservatively, are growing. Protestantism in America, it is, I'm telling you, it's limping on 3 legs, maybe 2 legs at this point. Can you limp with 2 legs if you're a dog? Kind of, I guess, you'd sort of bounce is what you'd basically do. I'm not a veterinarian. The point is Protestantism in America, because of its liberal drift, is shrinking. Now, please note, there are still some conservative Methodists. There are still some conservative Lutherans and Presbyterians. But the mainline denominations that have historically been the foundation of this country, they're crumbling, and it isn't because they're preaching the Bible. Let's hope that it's a trend. I don't know that it's accurate or not. Interestingly, churches in the West, followed by leaders in the Northeast, are ahead of those in the South and Midwest in terms of increased engagement, especially among Gen Z. I don't know. Maybe they're just so fed up with the liberalism. That could be it. I think young men are so tired of being feminized and so shamed for just being a dude who just wants to do dude stuff. Maybe this is the whiplash from that. Why the decline of marriage is driving America's faith crisis? That's the question that was asked in the Christian Post. I have a different answer. Faith, writes this article, didn't collapse in America over the last 40 years because of secularism's inevitable march or the triumph of reason. It collapsed because of marriage's demise. This author is contending that the lack of faith is the result of a lack of marriage, because faith follows family. And is the case that he tries to make is, when there's a dad in the house, when he's a believer, then the rest of the family tends to follow dad. But I would suggest to you the exact opposite. The reason that marriage is crumbling is because faith is diminishing everything. The headwaters are faith. It's always faith. That is true for government. That is true for family. That's true for morality. It is downstream from faith. Why are fewer people getting married? Because, well, fewer people are getting saved. George Barna, he has his second installment of his American Worldview Inventory for 2026. And it examined the level of biblical alignment across 8 specific categories of beliefs and behavior that form the foundation of a person's worldview. Once again, I think George does a pretty good job at this. He tries to, rather than just saying, hey, what are you, and accepting their answer, he tries to qualify them. And then he asks them questions. So this particular report revealed the overwhelming majority of respondents had little to no biblical alignment. Not a shocker, but think about these churches and what they're preaching. With the sermon that we listened to earlier this week, where the dude's telling stories about going on the treadmill at the gym. It's like, what? And how we've watered down preaching. And we're seeing this. I really experienced it. Was it last Monday we were at GTEC? Talked to about 10 kids. none of them really had any understanding whatsoever of the gospel. Some of them went to church, but they're not hearing anything. Why? Because we've determined we've got to take theology out. It's just too difficult. It's too hard for people. It's too boring. It's not relevant. People want fuego, fuego, fuego. They want cool. They want hip. They want groovy pastors, and they want anecdotes. They want TED Talks. So we've given it to them, and you see it. And do you remember that it was at a Christian university, the 100 kids that were asked, why are you a Christian? They couldn't articulate their... This is the fruit of dumbing down theology. This whole approach to kids that we come down to their level or below them in an effort to amuse them into the kingdom, assimilate them into the kingdom, is just wrong. And it is so abiblical. And for if we young people, we should be like shoving them to like, hey, mature. Hey, we need to get you grown up. Hey, we need to get you thinking adult thoughts and doing adult things, even if your peers aren't doing it. And yet the church, and it's just incessant effort to trivialize the faith, to water it down. George Barna shouldn't be shocked that he's seeing these particular results. 19% of respondents had a worldview reflecting full biblical engagement. 13% had some biblical engagement. 68% had little to no biblical alignment. Ouch, that hurts. The fruit of dumbing down church. Pete Hegseth, he sees a similarity between U.S. airmen rescue and the resurrection at a press conference on Monday. Quote, this is regarding that soldier, that pilot that was rescued. Very cool. A lot of the world, it seems, can't understand why America would spend so much money and effort and actually risk more lives to save a life. Really? That's complicated? I don't get it. First of all, it's an image bearer, so we make every effort to save image bearers, unlike what they're doing in Canada. Furthermore, if a soldier doesn't know that his nation has his back, that ain't going to be a very good soldier, tell you that much. Would you risk your life if you knew that we weren't willing to risk ours to save you if you got in trouble? Nevertheless, he said this, quote, shot down on a Friday, Good Friday. Hidden in a cave, a crevice, all of Saturday, and rescued on Sunday, flown out of Iran as the sun was rising on Easter Sunday, a pilot reborn. I guess it's reasonable to mention it's Good Friday and Easter, but if that's sort of supposed to be, and it happened on Good Friday, and it happened on Easter Sunday. And how am I supposed to interpret that? What is the message there? What's the implication of suggesting that there's some sort of correlation between the two? The answer is, I can't think of any. Can you? N.T. Wright, this is Christian Post. N.T. Wright has a podcast. It's called Ask N.T. Wright Anything. Jimmy? Let's see if we're on the same page. His podcast is called Ask N.T. Wright Anything. Mm-hmm. If you could add one word to that podcast, what would it be?
Ask, if I could add one word?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Biblical?
No.
What?
No. Don't.
Because he couldn't. Yeah, well, that's true.
Don't ask N.T. Wright anything.
Don't ask.
Anything. I mean anything. Just don't ask him anything. Get ready for some waffling and some obfuscation. Somebody asked the question, hey, what about the people who have never heard the gospel? Here's the quote. This is Chin Boogie. Whenever you hear equivocation like this, you're listening most likely to a universalist. Quote from N.T. Wright. The judge of all the earth will do right. God is God. And it's our job to stand back and let God do his job. Well, he's going to do his job whether we stand back or not, whatever that means. But that's the way of introducing it and saying, hey, don't feel bad if he does, but I'm not going to commit to if he doesn't. I'm just going to waffle all over the place. He pointed to Cornelius in the book of Acts because he was devout before hearing the gospel. Well, that's because he was practicing the Jewish faith. He was devout. It doesn't mean that he was saved or not saved. It doesn't mean that he was actually saved. Therefore, he was devout. Then he heard the gospel. That's nonsense. Wright also highlighted that he described as a recurring pattern in missionary history, individuals in non-Christian cultures sensing a higher truth before encountering Christianity. Now, there is no higher truth. There's either truth or there's not. It didn't have a higher truth. You must hear the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. How will they hear unless they are sent? N.T. Wright, quote, some people say, we always thought there must be something like this, suggesting that such experiences may reflect a form of divine preparation. Well, yeah, but what does that have to do with answering the question? He resisted definitive claims about who is in or out, urging believers to trust in God's mercy. Boy, you can just hear the missionary organizations jumping for joy at that comment. Who? There's no need to go if God's saving people without hearing. Quote, I would want to back off from an over-precise analysis of who's in and who's out. Okay, then let's let Jesus do it. He who believes in me has the Father. He who does not believe in me does not have the Father either. You don't need to draw lines, NT. You just need to read what the Bible clearly says. And this, sir, is why we go. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.